Welcome back to Elevate, y'all. We're really excited to be with you again in studio. Today, I am really, really on a thousand because I have my sister with me, Emerge sister Kem Scott, who is an environmental justice advocate, amongst many other things. And today, she's going to be sharing with us the importance of how to keep ourselves safe in our environments. She'll be sharing what environmental justice is, which many of us are going to learn. So do us a favor and stay until the very end because you're going to learn a lot with Kem Scott. Kem, welcome, finally.
Right. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here with me. I know you are extremely busy.
We all are these days.
Yes, pushing Georgia forward.
Yep, life is life in as well.
I love it. Well, to read Ms. Scott's bio, Ms. Scott has over 18 years of technical and business experience in the environmental, civil engineering, and real estate development fields. She has assisted municipalities, government agencies, and private industries, clients in meeting their business challenges by providing a comprehensive range of services directed principally by at the planning, management, design, construction, operation, and maintenance of real estate development, civil environmental engineering, and transit and aviation projects. Kem, you are the bomb. This is incredible. She's also the executive director at Georgia WAND 2021, and she is the president of N-Town Realty Development, LLC. She also, I believe, are you the executive director of Introduced a Girl to Engineer, a role model in not-for-profits?
Yes, it's a nonprofit organization. Yes.
Incredible. And also City of Atlanta Neighborhood Planning Unit, former chair, and on the Historical Atlanta Board. She's also on the Empire Board of Realist Development Council as a chair. So you are doing so much work in this field.
Yeah.
And you've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, thank you so much. I wasn't expecting for you to read the bio.
Yes,
and some of those boards, I'm former chair or former board member. So, but been actively involved in the community and civically engaged for a long time.
Yeah.
I am a proud City of Atlanta and Georgia native, so Grady baby, as they say.
Yes.
And proud Atlanta Public School student and graduate because, you know, when you think about APS and Atlanta Public Schools, it is public school education is the bedrock of our nation.
Yes.
And I think it needs to be protected and preserved. And
absolutely.
We're coming up with elections tomorrow. So excited about that and have already early voted.
Yes.
But being involved in the community was just something that came natural for me.
Yeah.
Working in the community as a youth and then going off to school and coming back home. Right. Actually, my transition into, like, the environmental space really started as a student at the outstanding Frederick Douglass High School. So I have to say
y'all,
that.
Frederick Douglass.
The land of the Astros. So, but they actually had a magnet program, and it was STEM-related. Center for Engineering and Technology was the name of the magnet program, and it really introduced me to engineering and engineering disciplines, you know, and then from there I decided, okay, you know, because it also afforded me the opportunity to go see what's our first black astronaut, woman astronaut.
Oh my goodness. My daughter was here. She just did a project on it.
When we come back,
we're gonna come back.
I'm gonna come back to it. But got a chance to actually see her in New Orleans.
Wow.
And she majored in chemical engineering, she's astronaut. And I was like, yes, I want to do that. And so went on and matriculated to Vanderbilt and majored in chemi. But, you know, really wanted to serve my community from an environmental standpoint. So came back home and started working with local government. And so the transition over from for-profit and government then to nonprofit, people were like, oh, I didn't think you were going to do that. But then some people were like, I could really see you do that. And so being the executive director for Environmental Social Justice Nonprofit Organization has been great. It's called Georgia WAND. WAND stands for Women's Actions for New Directions.
I love that.
And so we are a locally based environmental social justice nonprofit.
Wow.
We work statewide. But the main office is based in City of Atlanta's Summerhill neighborhood.
Okay.
And with that, we advocate for environmental social justice, mm-hmm. energy justice, and climate social justice wow. for our frontline communities in Southeast Georgia,
okay.
Along the Savannah River. So, like, mm-hmm. from Augusta down mm-hmm. To a community called Waynesboro in Burke County. It's actually where the Southern Company's nuclear commercial power plant Vogtle mm-hmm. is located.
Wow.
And so, but we also advocate for our City of Atlanta neighbors and mm-hmm. residents and mm-hmm. community stakeholders that are being burdened from an energy justice standpoint, right?
Yeah.
Meaning that they're not able to really pay their power bills.
Yeah.
And they're spending a lot of money
Absolutely.
On their utility bills.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like my work in a nutshell, and I'm happy to be here to talk about it.
That is so incredible. I want to pick your brain about most of the things that you said, mm-hmm. and I'm like, my wires are going up because I'm thinking about, you talked about the energy mm-hmm. burden, and mm-hmm. I feel like I'm one of the people going through that right now,
yeah.
where my city was, where I live just became a city, Mapleton,
mm-hmm.
and my electricity tripled.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to understand, I said, my lights are always off.
Mm-hmm.
We barely use the electricity in the house. Where is this coming from? And
yeah.
so it's really interesting that you talk about this, but I don't want to jump, you know, into this is so much to go through. But let's start with environmental justice. What
yep.
is that for the average person listening?
So when we talk about environmental justice mm-hmm. in our world, we're talking about air pollution.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about water pollution.
Mm-hmm.
And advocating for justice in those areas. We're talking about clean soil.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about clean water. Everyone should have a right. That's
mm-hmm.
their right
yeah.
To have access to
mm-hmm.
clean water and clean air and
yeah.
clean soils. And then in this space where we talk about energy justice, clean energy.
Right.
Whether it's relief from being burdened from high utility bills
mm-hmm.
and or helping our legislators and our policymakers
mm-hmm.
transition the state to clean energy initiatives,
yeah.
you know, a pathway to clean energy.
Sure.
So whether that's wind or solar power
mm-hmm.
or what we call, you know, going to net zero, so
yeah.
reducing
mm-hmm.
our carbon footprint
mm-hmm.
and getting rid of fossil fuels and
yeah.
things that, you know, are bad to the environment.
Sure.
And the people that are located there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what we mean by environmental justice. And then Environmental Protection Agency, that federal agency,
yeah.
Has designated some communities throughout the state of Georgia as EJ, what we call EJ communities,
okay.
meaning that they are environmentally burdened.
Wow.
And that we're working to advocate that some of that burden is eliminated.
Sure.
You know, whether it's from, you know, energy justice
mm-hmm.
or whether it's from an environmental standpoint.
Yeah.
So I think people experience it a lot more than they think.
Yeah.
But, you know, at this
aware.
Point, yeah, and the awareness really helps to shed a light on it and say, look, this is something that you need to be doing, that
mm-hmm.
you need to be concerned about.
Yeah.
But some of it is just how do you even get started, right? And part of our work is just educating and informing not only the community stakeholder or the resident or
mm-hmm.
the business, a small business, but also the policymakers, because
wow.
environmental justice impacts everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah.
You talked about some areas that are designated as EJ areas.
Mm-hmm.
What is the root cause? What are some of the factors that's causing these areas to be environmentally burdened?
So when we think about some industries coming that are actually contributing
mm-hmm.
to that,
sure.
Causing brown water,
mm-hmm.
you know, or discoloration in water
yeah.
With their practices or
right.
their processes to make the goods and services that their industry is providing.
Wow.
You have also some governments, you know, that are key players in
mm-hmm.
causing some industries, well, not industries, but some communities
mm-hmm.
to be toxic
wow.
and causing them to be polluted.
Wow.
And then you have laws and policies, right? Sure. Zoning. Mm-hmm. What we've seen in certain EJ communities mm-hmm. is that agriculturally zoned land, land that's supposed to be designated to help make our food, mm-hmm. you know, now have been taken,
wow.
right, and used for other industries. And so wow. That's also contributing to some of the environmental infractions that we're seeing in our communities and in EJ communities.
I'm learning so much listening to you, and I'm thinking, as you're saying this, I'm thinking about my community mm-hmm. and what companies over there and whether in my immediate community, whether we're even designated as one of those EJ communities.
Well, EPA has a screening tool.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can just Google, you know, EJ screening tool.
Sure.
And then there is a search engine or a search field where you can put in your address mm-hmm. or put in your zip code. Mm-hmm. I think it's by zip codes.
Okay.
And it'll show you whether or not your community or your area is environmentally burdened and designated as an EJ community.
I'm definitely going to check that out. And I'm thinking about also, I know I am a transplant and we're mm-hmm. New York. Mm-hmm. So I'm always worried about like my New York community too.
Right.
And I know that the Bronx, oh my goodness, and I say we because I, you know, I'm still born and raised mm-hmm. there.
Absolutely.
But we are the bottom county in terms of health, mm-hmm. and we're dealing with severe environmental infractions.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there is, I hate to say there's like real hope for getting out of like being the bottom out of the entire state of New York.
Yeah, I think awareness, mm-hmm. obviously, when you become aware mm-hmm. and you become informed.
Yeah.
Then you can tell your neighbor, you can tell your Absolutely. Family member, and then we can, you know, do better, right? Mm-hmm. And hold people accountable
right.
for some of the infractions that they're doing to our communities.
Yeah.
EJ doesn't have a price tag, doesn't have mm-hmm. an income level,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we talk about the public health inequities, right?
Right.
One of the frontline communities that we work in Southeast Georgia is Augusta. Mm-hmm. Some people have heard of it.
Right.
and there was a local epidemiologist there, had done 20 years of research.
Wow.
And what he came out with is that there was an uptick in cancer-related illnesses and deaths in these areas, in these communities, so much wow. so that he designated them, based upon his 20-year research, mm-hmm. cancer hotspots.
Oh, my goodness.
And so you wonder, why is it that these residents, these community leaders and church members and, you know, people of faith, faith-based communities, all of these people, regardless of age and demographic and salaries,
yeah.
Had this high percentage of cancer.
Wow.
And a lot of it is because of the industries that are there that are not really being permitted and held accountable for some of the infractions that they were doing. Some of it was because
it's
of
so disheartening.
Yeah, it is disheartening. And just like what you were talking about with the Bronx,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you are aware and informed, but also holding your council members and your elected officials accountable, because mm-hmm. When these industries come in, they have to purchase the property, right?
Yeah, sure.
They have to get zoning to do their business and, mm-hmm. and run their business. But also, if you are coming into an environment or a community that's already environmentally burdened,
right.
why are you being allowed to further that burden?
To increase the burden.
And increase the harm
yeah.
that may be caused by your industry. So, you know, one of the things that we're working on is an Environmental Justice Act. It would be the first in the state of Georgia, right? So thank you. So, and it would be a commission. It would create a commission. And that
wow.
commission would be appointed by our state lawmakers
mm-hmm.
with community stakeholders, you know, leaders, mm-hmm. residents, mm-hmm. People that are professionals that mm-hmm. know the industry.
Right.
But also we're hoping to get municipalities and local governments, people that actually grant these permits, right?
Yeah.
Or people in the planning department, because they need to be made aware mm-hmm. of what is already happening in these communities.
Absolutely.
If you're already environmentally burdened, why would you allow, a hazardous facility mm-hmm. or a facility that makes environmentally bad byproducts to come into this neighborhood mm-hmm. or this community? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. So mm-hmm. hopefully and prayerfully, that's our goal, to get that on the docket under the Gold Dome incredible. In 2024.
That is, that's going to change the game for mm-hmm. for what you're doing. And I think it's crucial at this point, especially when you talk about cancer hotspots.
Right.
You know, that's scary. A lot of people in certain areas are at high risk mm-hmm. and this information needs to get out. People need to understand. And then the other part of my brain says, well, why would you approve permits and licenses for industries that are causing this harm?
Well, I think, municipalities, local governments have mm-hmm. a job to do, mm-hmm. right? And elected officials mm-hmm. Have to be accountable to the people that elected them yeah. into office.
Right.
And so some, I believe, get caught up on the fact that mm-hmm. It's going to create jobs. Mm-hmm. It's going to increase economic viability for my community. Right. I mean, just today in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, right, mm-hmm. Georgia is just second to Michigan mm-hmm. for being a manufacturing hub for mm-hmm. clean energy jobs and businesses. Mm-hmm. But what does that really mean? Like, we have laid the foundation for businesses to come mm-hmm. In this arena, in this area.
Right.
But what does that mean for communities that are already burdened? And so this EJ Act will then kind of shed light on, hey, sound the alarm that absolutely. These communities are here and you may want to reevaluate your location or reevaluate what this would mean for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is so good. I'm learning so much, and I want to have an off camera conversation with you just to learn more. It flows from you. You can tell not Thank only you. Is this your passion, this is your area of expertise. And as Black woman in this industry, it's a breath of fresh air to see you, in this role and Thank with you. This knowledge base and skill set. We don't see enough of us.
And there are some other EJ champions that I say that, are women-led, women-based organizations throughout Georgia and throughout the nation. Honestly, the cradle of environmental justice that I know of started in actually North Carolina. When we talk about even the agriculture industry, right, mm-hmm. Agriculture is the number one economy for Georgia. Mm-hmm. How that's even been impacted with environmental injustice, mm-hmm. right? Our schools are based upon our zip codes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about industries coming into areas that are lower valued, then that impacts not only property value, mm-hmm. But schools. And the quality of schools, right? Yeah. Because when you think about schools being based on incomes, mm-hmm. on zip codes, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then some of these industries are coming into areas where the price per square foot is affordable, and it incentivizes them to come mm-hmm. into these communities, but they don't understand what that means for quality education and quality schools, right? Most of these industries are going to come into communities where the property values are low.
Right.
Because you get the best bang for your buck.
Sure.
Which means that, your schools are suffering as well.
Wow.
And then, when we talk about the public health inequities, mm-hmm. right? What Southeast Georgia is experiencing, Mableton or City of Atlanta may not be experiencing, right? But there's still an issue in regards to air quality, mm-hmm. With ozone layers. There's mm-hmm. still an issue when we talk about making sure that we're preserving communities that have been environmentally burdened with you know, energy injustices, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you can't afford to pay your power bill, you probably mm-hmm. can't afford to pay other things.
Absolutely.
And so one of the things that, you know, we're also advocating for is to make sure that these utilities and people know that, number one, they can join their local utility, especially if it's a EMC or Greystone or something mm-hmm. like that, you know, where they can have a voice, they can run That's for awesome. Office, and then they can encourage their local utility, hey, we would like to make sure that we have weatherization assistance programs and
awesome.
Utility assistance programs for our customers, right? Yeah. We are the customers.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to move Georgia to a cleaner economy mm-hmm. when we talk about energy, all hands need to be on deck.
That's right.
So that means not only holding our local utilities accountable, but holding the Georgia Powers, you know, accountable.
Yeah.
That also means, mm-hmm. you know, making sure that our kids and our young adults know that there's a real industry and it's very profitable
yeah.
In the environmental and clean energy space,
mm.
right? So, they, wow. you know, they can be energy home auditors.
Wow.
They can also
be
the contractors when we talk about putting in electric vehicles. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The chargers.
Yeah.
You know, or charging stations.
Yeah.
You know, the air monitors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are not a lot of, when we talk about the supply chain and the diversification of it, right?
Right.
There aren't a lot of brown and black people. Yes.
Right.
Because, I mean, people of color are, you know.
Right, a little different.
It's a little different.
Right, right.
So it's brown and black people. Mm-hmm. But making sure that when we talk about the supply chain, that they are aware.
Right.
That this is something that we can be profitable in
can
as well, and we can be a part of it. It should be inclusive, but sure. a lot of times it's not. So just kind of getting that word out that there are opportunities when we talk about clean energy jobs and businesses.
Wow. So it's almost like there are, it's a trade.
That it is.
Kids, after they graduate high mm-hmm. school or even later on in life,
yeah.
it sounds like it's lucrative, like
right.
you said, and it's necessary. We need it.
Yeah.
And it's open wide.
Yes. Solar panel installations.
Wow.
You know, for residential and businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Community solar is a big thing now.
Wow.
There's a lot of money that's coming from the federal government, you know, to help businesses mm-hmm. and to create this space for our young adults, but also our seasoned saints, as
yeah.
we say, to contribute because it's going to take everybody. It's going to take a village to really move our states and our nation to this clean energy space.
This is so good. I'm like, after this, I'm going to be doing some research. Mm-hmm. And I know there's this program we have in my agency. It's a mm-hmm. career and college pathway program.
Yes.
And we deal with seven different disciplines, and this is not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm almost like at the very 99% of my decision that we need to include this.
Yes.
Because it sounds like not only is it going to help us in our communities, but in terms of income level and just being able to be in these spaces
right.
where we need it
yeah,
the most.
Absolutely. And then it helps also when we talk about our pathway to mm-hmm. being net zero,
yes.
you know, carbon free,
yes.
you know, in a place where we can contribute as well to a clean energy economy.
Yes. This is so amazing, Kim. I want to, we're wrapping up, but can you give us some everyday tips that we can use in our households and our day-to-day lives to contribute to more clean and efficient air?
Yeah, so I think one of the things when we talk about environmental justice and energy justice and climate social justice, obviously, is just to be aware of what's actually happening.
Okay.
One of the things that we stress, too, is when I say be aware, you know, look at your water.
Okay.
Is it discolored? Does it have a smell to it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you seen changes in the water pressure?
Okay.
You know, if that's the case, then make sure that you're reaching out to your local water you know, utility or department.
Sure.
With your energy usage, mm-hmm. Depending on who your utility company is, mm-hmm. you can set some parameters so that you can start seeing how much energy you're actually using.
Right.
And those are things that you can do internally, right?
That's good.
I would think when you advocate for more utility assistance mm-hmm. and weatherization assistance mm-hmm. programs, that you take advantage of those because there are some that are out there, and it's mm-hmm. more than just your toilet rebate, right? Mm-hmm. There are some incentives for you mm-hmm. to have solar water heaters, you know, solar panels on your home. Mm-hmm. Well, advocate for community solar.
Right.
I would also say there should be some type of discussion, if not now, then very, very soon mm-hmm. in the near future about resiliency hubs. Like what happens mm-hmm. when we talk about climate social justice, what happens if all the power goes out in
I
your
was
subdivision?
Just thinking about that. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
We're right there.
Yeah.
Yes. It's happened about five times in 1 year. Yeah.
So where would you go to mm-hmm. charge your cell phone?
Yes.
You know, so really start having those discussions in your communities about developing a resiliency hub. So that everybody can go there, they can get charged, mm-hmm. you know, they can feel safe during inclement weather, you know, mm-hmm. or frequent power outages.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
what happens with our schools and our kids,
yeah.
you know, with their learning mm-hmm. and even remote jobs. You know,
right.
how can you do your job mm-hmm. And be productive mm-hmm. if your internet is continuously going out because your power is going out.
Yeah.
It's flickering, you know, mm-hmm. 2, 3, 5 times throughout the workday.
Absolutely.
So just having those discussions around that and just being more conscious and open about, you know, what we're doing to the
right.
environment as well, because we're doing
how
some
we're
things. Yeah, how we're contributing, because the environment is telling us, you know, like, look, you are being bad to me, and so mm-hmm. sometimes I act out, right? I act out in different ways. But you know, we have a role in this.
Yeah.
We have to protect and preserve mm-hmm. Not only our environment but our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And then holding our elected officials accountable.
Absolutely.
You know, we vote in people that are making laws and policies concerning our public health.
Mm-hmm.
Our quality of life, mm-hmm. our environment, and we have to make sure that we are holding them accountable to do the right thing.
That's right.
And if they don't have enough sense to do it, mm-hmm. then obviously we need to get somebody in
we
office that can. So we're excited about that. Yeah.
This is so good and so helpful, and you've given me some tips. So I'm going to be going back home and implementing a lot of these mm-hmm. things immediately. The resiliency hub, I just put that as a note. Because I'm going to probably be thinking of that mm-hmm. for my subdivision. I know we have so many power outages mm-hmm. in a year. I set 5, but I think it was a lot more.
Yeah.
We've had spoiled food where we've just went food shopping, hundreds of dollars of food spoiled, and now we got to buy it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, you know, it's costly. So this is really important, the things that you're saying, the work mm-hmm. that you're doing. I'm grateful.
Thank you.
That you're in this space. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And for leading the charge.
Thank you for having me today to talk about it. You know, I could talk about it all day, but
yes.
Yeah. We environmental justice is the new civil rights.
Yes.
That's my tag. And
yes.
I'm excited about pushing that.
Yes.
That narrative, because it is a true narrative.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I know we didn't get into this, but it's connected to a lot of health issues.
Absolutely.
That many of us are dealing with, especially mm-hmm. Black and brown communities. You know, I talked about before we went live my story of allergies. And mm-hmm. I mean, my chest is all tightening and I'm like, what's going on? I'm sneezing and, you know, just horrible. So this is really important.
Yeah.
I don't know much about the work, but I am dedicated to it. So I want to be able to support you and what you're doing. And if others want to support you, how could they reach out?
Yeah, so they can reach out at gawand.org.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my environmental social justice work at Georgia Wand. And then my email address is kim@georgiathestate. I'll spell out wand.org. And then just my community work, just outside of Georgia One is KimScottATL at Gmail. So, yeah.
We didn't even get to talk about that.
I know.
You got to come back and talk about KimScottATL work. Okay. Yes.
Okay. I would love to.
This is incredible. Well, Kim, keep on moving forward and leading this incredible and very important charge.
Thank you.
I think when we continue to building awareness and educating our communities, mm-hmm. people will care too.
Yeah.
Some of it is just we don't know. There's people left in the dark.
And I think people care now. Yeah. You know, they really do. They mm-hmm. just when you start talking about it, then the light bulb comes on.
Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Immediately. You're mm-hmm. like, what? This is happening in my own community. Absolutely. Now you can activate people mm-hmm. to be in a part of that change.
Yes.
That's incredible. Thank you so much, Kim.
You're welcome.
For joining us today.
Thank you.
We hopefully will bring you back on in the future before
I would love
you
to.
Become, you know, too busy to, you know, come on and join our podcast. But we appreciate you once again.
Thank you.
And we appreciate all of you for tuning in and for listening to today's very important and vital topic, environmental justice, guys. If you've never heard it before, you've heard it now. So now you're responsible for the information that you have. What are you going to do with it, right? Kim gave us some incredible tips of things that we can do in our household to make sure we're being a part of the change and not a part of the problem. So again, thank you guys so much for listening. Help us to lift this message up by sharing it out to your networks. We will be back. Stay tuned. We love you guys so much, and we'll see you soon.